You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we are back here with another fun-filled episode of the M Squared TechCast.
Indeed.
We are approaching 130 now, I think. Well,
that's
somewhere
probably,
around
that's how old I feel most of the
it's,
time.
It's been
anyway.
So long, we don't even remember how many times
right.
we've done it.
I think this is 130, and last week was 129.
All
right.
Okay.
I'll
awesome.
Check, though.
All right.
Okay,
great.
We've got a great show for you today. A lot of interesting content about technology and economic development and education in Michigan, which is what we do here. Our first guest is a longtime acquaintance of mine, Gary Erickson, of managing partner of Executive Search. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Was this Matt or Mike?
This is Matt.
Hard to tell.
Okay, this is Matt.
Well, we
Hi,
look
Matt.
So much alike, too.
Yeah, you do. And I've known you guys for a long time, and it's nice to hear from you again, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, the genesis of this conversation is about a month or so ago, I got a press release from some group saying that artificial intelligence was taking over for headhunters and that, you know, they were passe. And Gary took exception to that. So I forwarded him the press release, and he said something like bovine excrement, which we can't say the rest of it, right?
The barnyard epithet.
Yes. And so he's calling in to dispute this claim. You're not being replaced by AI anytime soon, right, Gary?
No, but I'll tell you what, there's some really nice tools out there that are helping us do our job faster and quicker with more expertise.
All right. Well, we probably should introduce Gary. He's, like you say, he's the managing partner for Executive Search Partners. But, gee, I knew you in a different life. I'm trying to remember what the company that you owned that you sold a long time ago. What was that company that you sold when I first met you?
Yeah, that was Great Lakes Technologies Group. That was back in 2002. And I think you and I and Matt were involved in a lot of local large IT events where we were trying to get a number of people together to think about the future of technology in Michigan.
Yeah, in fact, the great old days of the Great Lakes IT report, we announced the formation of Glitter, in fact, at a meeting that you chaired. It was SIM, I think.
Well, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, wow, what a memory. I'd forgotten about that. Yep, exactly right. And an excellent, excellent Great Lakes IT report was well received. It's too bad it's not still around.
Yes, things change.
Yes, indeed they do. And the places where people want to advertise change too.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, I got it.
So anyway, this group that you run is a headhunting firm, but it's technology-oriented, right?
Yeah, we only do IT positions from CIOs to programmer.
Okay.
Okay, so how did you happen to get into this business, Gary? I'm just curious.
Yeah, sort of serendipitous. When we sold Great Lakes Technologies Group to Logica in 2002, at the closing, I had had a couple searches that a little bit of our business was full-time search, and I was doing them personally. And at the closing, I said, who do I turn these over to? And they held up their hands and said, we don't want them. I said, okay, I guess I've started a new business. And it's grown from then. Last year, Forbes said we were one of the top search companies in the U.S. So we're very pleased with that honor.
Well, let's talk a little bit about AI replacing human functions and skills. As Mike said, he recently received an email from a company that has an applicant tracking system. They're claiming their AI will replace headhunters. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's interesting because there's a lot of fear about artificial intelligence replacing jobs and humans being out of work. And they, I think they look at things like robots on the shop floor is maybe the biggest example of that. But I think it's more of a supplement to people than it is an actual replacement. And I personally, I think is a long way before we see, you know, robots becoming the robots of the future that people are afraid of. And, and it's certainly not affecting what we're doing in IT.
Oh, okay. But you do use AI a bit in your headhunting. You were alluding to that earlier. How do you use it? What's the process?
Well, so headhunters are people that we're companies hire us to find candidates to fill their open positions. And finding a candidate has multiple components to it. One is finding a candidate that's qualified. Two is finding out if that candidate is interested. If those two match, then we go through a process of interviewing the candidate and finding out if they got the detailed background our client is looking for. We look to see if they have the personality and culture fit that we're looking for. And then there's always, are they a fit from a compensation perspective? And is it close enough for them to drive? Or are they willing to relocate? So headhunting is a number of processes. The AI email you got was really focused at finding good resumes to match against requirements.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more to it than that, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it. One of the examples that I have used is LinkedIn Recruiter, a tool that LinkedIn provides to recruiters to be able to scan their database of candidates to find candidates that look like they may be a good fit. And you would think with people in putting in profiles in a formatted way, listing their skills and their background and their titles, that and LinkedIn being able to do a search against their database using a number of specific criteria that they give us as recruiters to look at candidates, you would think that we'd be able to come up with some very precise matches. And what happens is a typical search will give us back 100 to 300 candidates, somewhere in that type range, and less than 5% of those using LinkedIn's fairly sophisticated artificial intelligence front end against well-formatted and well-documented data only produces 5% of the people that we're looking for. I mean, 5% of the numbers that we see are qualified. So AI is helping a little, but I think it's got a long way to go.
So how tricky is it then getting the right match, right fit, all those elements you talked about? Is that real challenging? I mean, how successful are you at it?
So this is getting into our sales pitch a little, but we're the only...
You can do that, so.
Yeah, a little. Yeah, thank you. We're the only the search company in the United States, we think. Of course, we can claim it because... I haven't seen a counterexample, but it's not an empirical statement. But we have not seen anybody else who's founded by and run by former chief information officers. So we really get IT. And when you're out there trying to find people that match clients' requirements, you need to really understand what the client's looking for in some depth, because there's technology involved, there are processes involved, there's the way they're organized could be different by company, and that makes a difference in terms of which candidates you present. And then there's the candidates. Do they have the background? Do they have the interest, the skill set, the depth of skill set that they're looking for? So there's a lot of matchmaking, if you will, and a lot of verifying by interviews that the candidates are qualified and interested in the position.
Okay.
So the majority of the work we do is we find candidates. The majority of the work we do is qualifying and to see if they're interested and a fit to the position. Okay. And AI can't do that.
All right. But given that some companies are using AI to screen applicants, what advice do you give to people who apply for online posted positions?
Well, that's interesting. There are three ways that I tell people they can find jobs. One is you look at posted jobs. One is you go through recruiters like us. And the third is you use your personal network. All right. If you're going through a recruiter like us, or if you're going applying online, you've got to match the requirements that are posted there at least at the 95% level. All right. So my advice is first read the requirements well. If you don't meet 95% of the requirements, you shouldn't apply because you're going to waste your time and their time. And often candidates tell me, just give me a chance. I know I can do the job. And I agree. A lot of people can do the job, but the people on the other end don't have to gamble on somebody that doesn't look like they're a fit, because they're going to be able to find 5, 10, 15 candidates that are at the 95% fit. Right. So the first piece of advice I give people is make sure you're a fit. All right. If you're a fit, if you're a close match to their requirements, send them a resume, not a cover letter or anything else, but send them a resume that shows on the first page that you're a fit to that position.
How so? You just parrot back what they had in their requirements and say, I cover all these points, or what?
That'd be one way to do it. You can do it sort of more subtly. There's every resume at the top quarters of the resume probably has a professional summary. You can modify that. Your position title should be accurate, but there may be something about the position and the title that you can enhance, change, that look more likely. When I say a candidate is a match to position, people are looking for industry, they're looking for title, they're looking for scope, meaning number of people that you've had working for you. They're looking for function. Function might be if they're looking for a director of financial systems. So if that's what they're looking for, then on the first page of your resume, those background requirements need to show up. And like I say, if you can't match those requirements, you're going to waste everybody's time, including your own, applying for that position.
But we're hearing that there's this dearth of available talent out there in tech, and that there's like a gazillion jobs for every position, but not necessarily at the level that you're searching for folks for, right? There's not as many of them at that level, or what?
So I keep hearing about that maybe there are not enough tech people out there, but we don't seem to have any trouble finding people to match requirements through our personal network and through databases and through using things like the LinkedIn recruiter. There's always people looking for new positions and opportunities. Sometimes, you know, some positions are in higher demands than others. Like right now, information security is in high demand, but still, there's still a number of candidates who are available and who might be interested in a new opportunity.
Okay, Gary, we're about out of time here. Got a little under a minute to go. So why don't you tell people how to get a hold of you and get a hold of your company?
Okay, so Executive Search Partners can be found at www.execsearchpartners.com. That's E-X-E-C, searchpartners.com. You could go to our website. And one of the documents I highly recommend for people who are interested in finding a new job is there's a document called 12 Steps for a Highly Successful Job Search that you can download. It's been very popular, number of downloads. We've given seminars on it. If you're looking for a new job, it's a really good document to help you get started.
All right. Thanks very much, Gary Erickson, Managing Partner of Executive Search Partners, with 12 Steps for a Highly Successful Job Search, and the reason AI is not taking over headhunting anytime soon. So thanks very much, Gary, for being with us today.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Matt and Mike. Matt's nice hearing your voice again.
Yeah, yours too. All right, we'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Roush.
And hopefully Tanya can hear us. Can you hear us, Tanya?
Yes, I can hear you.
Well, we are back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast with our longtime friend of the show, Michigan Science Center CEO Tanya Matthews. Tanya, welcome.
Thank you very much. How are you all doing today?
Just great. Finally, the rain is gone, and we're enjoying the sunshine, but we're in a studio right now.
However long it takes. Been the summer that was, I guess.
Yeah, we're surrounded by sound-absorbing material indoors right now.
Right,
so,
yeah.
We'll get out there later, though. But speaking of summer, you've got a ton of programs going on this summer, right? And that's what we want to talk about here today. The little ones, a lot of school districts, some let out last week, some are letting out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, parents all over the great state of Michigan have their little ones at home twiddling their thumbs, want to know what they can do that's fun, where they, if they're not careful, they might learn something. Don't tell them. But so we want to talk to you. So we want to talk to you about summer programs at the Science Center. So just give us the highlights. What's going on there this summer?
Sure. We are gearing up for the summer to help those parents keep those young minds activated. There's a lot of research that does talk about the summer slide. The brain is an organ, but essentially it's a muscle, like any other muscle. And so we need to keep working with it all through the summer. But, you know, the kids do need a break, so allowing them to think a little differently. So we have got several weeks of summer camp. They actually kick off in just 2 weeks. Our camps kick off in the third week of June, and they run all the way through August. We've got summer camps for pre-K all the way up to eighth grade. Everything ranging from robotics to forensics. Actually, our forensics is always really popular. Animals, because of course animals are good. And continuing the theme we've been running for the year, we've also got a couple of very big space camps that are happening this summer as well.
And that's just restricted to eighth graders? Like adults can't come to space camp?
Well, it goes from pre-K to eighth grade, depending. If the adults want to sneak in, the code word is volunteer.
Okay, gotcha.
That's how folks can get in. And then for parents that need it, we do actually have before and aftercare, you know, making a way to do those different kinds of things. And a couple of those camps have some really cool capstone projects where kids will be taking things home with them, or will actually be displaying some of the things that our summer campers create right here at the Science Center.
All right. Well, my wife's always called me a little bit of a space cadet, so I might see you there. So
yeah.
We'll see.
He'll volunteer for sure. Yes.
That's good. And if you want to kind of check us out, perhaps a little behind the scenes for busy folks, we know some folks are also traveling during the summertime. And we also know that sometimes there are all kinds of obstacles to being able to get back and forth to the Science Center to do our camp. So this year we are trying for the second time something called the Virtual Summer of Science Camp. So starting in a couple of weeks, you can log on to our website and you can watch a video of the Science Camp kickoff for the week in real time. We'll give you tasks and activities to do that you can check on a secret Science Center webpage. And then you send us proof that you actually did your summer camp from home or from your vacation, and you earn points, and you can get prizes all through the summer.
Now, you're still having some adult activities there during the summer. I know you had your mixer that you were doing during the regular year. Are you still doing that in the summer?
Yeah, so the big one is coming up, actually the two big ones. So the one coming up in June, June 21st, is the After Dark with the theme of summer solstice, which is always very popular. Everybody's into summer solstice. There's actually science behind it, not just fantastic cocktails, but we will also have that. So for folks who are just learning about this, every third Thursday, the Science Center goes 21 and up. So we bring in bartenders, DJ, and then we get together with some folks and figure out the theme. So June is summer solstice, and July is our annual showstopper of an after dark. It is vintage video games. And so we will be rolling out. We have some partners that are collectors of actual arcade games. So we have a mini arcade set up in the Science Center, but we're also using our different theater spaces, and we're projecting some of those old school games onto the big screen. So even if you have Pac-Man on your phone right now, it's going to look so much better on the giant screen at the Science Center.
That sounds like something Dave and Bob would be interested in, Jessica. What do you think? Dave and Bob would go for that, do you think?
Probably.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Great.
It's actually a lot of fun. And, of course, we talk about the technology. And I think it's one of those good moments where you can also see how far we've come on all levels, everything from the control modules to the graphics to the music to the character to the storyline. So even though it is technically just a game, it's a real reflection of how far we've come in terms of IT technology and coding and those kinds of things, as well as the skills you've got to bring to the game to win. It's actually very, very interesting. Just because you were the queen of asteroids doesn't actually mean you do as well in World of Warcraft and vice versa. So it's good to sort of come out and think about sort of some of the madness behind the magic of the video games that we grew up with.
Now, are there any special shows going on right now this summer? Any exhibitions that are still continuing over from the spring?
Yes, we've got actually a pretty cool special show that's launching. So, of course, we have the planetarium at the Science Center. We've got an amazing crack team. A resident planetarium manager is also an astrophysicist. So Paulette Epstein and her team have created a new planetarium show called Our Place in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. Hint, hint, hint. But won't get any cease and desist orders passed to MI Tech News.
Yeah.
For those of us who follow those things, if you ever wanted to know what a parsec actually is, it's actually a real measure of distance. So if you follow this enough to know things like that, those are actually kind of the themes that we're talking about in that. We got a lot of space movies coming up now and actually through the summer. And, you know, it's interesting. What used to be science fiction is becoming just science.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the shows that highlights that. So it's actually very cool.
I was going to say, we've got,
as far as summer season.
Yeah, we've got practically everything from like 2001 A Space Odyssey and Star Trek and things like that, except for the warp drive.
Yep.
And the transporter. Well, the transporter works on individual particles. I guess they can move a particle from point A to point B, but they can't move anything more complicated than
but
that.
But I think Dave has volunteered to be the guinea pig when the transporter can do people, right? So we'll see. Hopefully we won't turn him inside out or anything.
And nobody show him the fly.
Don't let him watch that movie. We're going to see that. So.
Well, he can always volunteer for something easier, like perhaps 3D printing the first edible hamburger or something like that. You might do better with that.
You know, I have seen actual 3D printed pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to bake it. Well, no, they just squeeze dough out in a pattern, and then they squeeze the sauce out in a pattern, and then they squeeze the, you know, it has to be like cheap, you know, Cheese Whiz type stuff out in a pattern. And, you know, I mean, it's essentially 3D printing, like, you know, deposition of layers. That's what it is. But it's not quite up to the standards of the Star Trek replicator yet.
No.
So,
okay.
Not quite. But, you know, we're getting there, because those folks headed to Mars are going to have to eat something other than freeze dried ice cream.
Right.
So we are working on those different kinds of things.
I don't know. 6 months of freeze dried ice cream, that could be okay.
<You'd> be,
might not fit in your space.
I was going to say, you'd be happy it was zero gravity, that's for sure.
So we
need to keep that kind of variety going.
Yes, yes. What else is going on? You got a long summer ahead of you. So you got camps, you got mixers, what else? Planetarium. I know it's like a three-ring circus there. You got all sorts of stuff.
And so it's interesting you mentioned, you know, in terms of having things for adults. We just finished hosting the AutoSense conference, which was this international convening of engineers and tech folks who actually work on the devices that support autonomous driving, right? So it's the genius behind the machines.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has reminded us that we need to be talking more about the Science Center as a cool venue for adults to come and creatively think. So we're actually having an open house that's specifically around the Science Center as a rental and event space.
Oh.
We're going to let folks come out and see what it can look like with quote-unquote adults at play, one of those kind of creative learning spaces. So we'll be doing that on July 19th. And actually, that is the day of the Vintage Video Games After Dark. So I think the smarter among us are going to decide, hey, that's the day I need to check out the Science Center as a place for my company to have a holiday party, because it comes with passes to the arcade that will be downstairs. So we definitely want to talk more about that. We think it's great that all of these different conventions and conferences are now looking at Detroit again. So coming back and hosting different kinds of things at Detroit. So we definitely want to be a part in helping attract some of that kind of visitation and tourism, as well as to recommend ourselves to folks who've always come. To give ourselves new ideas and new ways to show off the things that Detroit has, especially since we're right here in the middle of the museum district next to our sister institutions.
Yeah, it sounds almost like you need to have some travel writers in for a little mini fam tour of the familiarization tour of all the Science Center has to offer. As I've been to a couple of evening events there, and I've been to a couple of evening events there, and they've been a blast. You know, you get a chance to be a kid again. It's really a lot of fun.
It is. I mean, it's always, of course, very interesting when you dress up spaces and they look very different. But even as, you know, the previous conversation you all were having was about, you know, finding different talent and new talent that's available and being able to ask the right questions and the questions that AI can't quite ask of our candidates yet. And part of that is this creative thinking, thinking out of the box and in spaces. And companies are finding unique venues to host team buildings or team professional development to get folks to think outside of the box, because it's what STEM and all that technology requires right now. And the Science Center is in a really unique position to support companies who are trying to generate that level of innovation and creativity in their team.
All right. So we've got about a minute to go. Tanya, why don't you tell people, please, Dr. Tanya Matthews, CEO of the Michigan Science Center, how to get a hold of more information about all these great programs at the Science Center.
Yes. And also, of course, when we're open during the summer, we like to open up a little extra during the summer. So you can always find our open times and all of our programs at www.mi-sci.org. And during the summer, we are open Tuesday through Saturday Tuesday through Sunday until 5 p.m. every day. And a few of those days, we're going to have some extended hours for our different events and activities. So folks should definitely check that out.
All right. Thanks very much, Tanya Matthews, CEO, Michigan Science Center. We'll be right back with another segment of the M-Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast.
And next week is a big week in Detroit. We have Startup Week Detroit. And we have with us calling in Monica Wheat, who, I'm not sure, are you the chief organizer or one of the lead organizers? Or how do I describe you for that event?
Any and all of the above work.
Okay. Everything drops in her lap and she has to take care of it. Although we do have Timber Shea with us today. Timber? Oh, wait, turn her mic on there.
Hi,
there we go.
Hey, Monica. Can't wait for next week.
We're excited. Very, very excited.
All right, let's talk about that. So you were downtown before. You're still downtown, but you're going into the Masonic Temple instead, right?
Actually, it's the opposite. We were in the Masonic Temple last 2 years.
Oh.
And then now we're shifting to a more centralized downtown location focused on Grand Circus Park.
Oh.
And we'll also be utilizing the Detroit Opera House and Grand Circus Detroit and the Aloft Hotel at David Whitney and a few other really, really cool spaces. Madison Building, Bamboo Detroit, the YMCA, Detroit is the New Black, and the House of Pure Vin are all going to be really key locations for us.
That's great. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to go. One of the reasons to go is to see all those cool new venues. I've been meaning to see that hotel in the Whitney Building for a while. This would be a good excuse to do that.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, beautiful.
So talk a little bit about, is it 4 days or 5 days? Is it all week long that this is going on?
Definitely all week long. It kicks off on Monday, June 18th. And then the core activities run through Friday, June 22nd. But we also have a few, one or two activities that are happening the following weekend, which are the 23rd and the 24th. But the core activities, the bulk of it is June 18th through 22nd. And we are super excited to be bringing this back for year three. And you had mentioned my quote unquote role, and I'm co-leading it this year, and he's been my partner in crime for we've done it since year one is with Kyle Bazzi. And we have an amazing, amazing team of about 70 volunteers who've been meeting weekly since January to put this on for the city.
Yeah, that's quite an endeavor. I know I did the 1 day conference and about killed me. As Timber can well attest to, I was like, last 2 weeks I was just frantic, and so I can only imagine putting on a week long show.
And the day after, I'm not sure you met the medical definition of a coma, but it was pretty close.
I think it was the next day. Yeah, so we may do it again next year. I'm not sure, but I'm going to get a lot more help this time. So,
but help is key.
Yes. Well, in fact, I was going to mention that with Tanya. We're trying to work on the details. We're going to have IoT Tech Connect next April at the Science Center. So we just
awesome.
Yeah, I got to get those details worked out with our staff. It's just I haven't quite psyched myself up to get that started again, but I need to do that, I guess. Yes.
I will say this from having done this for years, the downtime is really key because if you think about it right immediately after, the answer is always, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But you get a little bit of downtime and you'll get hyped back up about launching.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be great to have it downtown. A lot of people said we should have had it downtown to begin with, but first time out, we made a lot of mistakes and now we've learned and moving on, right? So.
Yeah, so, pluses.
So one of the things I have on my list of things you wanted to talk about was Code Detroit, that you're going to have the 5,000
yes.
Youth Challenge. What's that all about?
So that's a component of what we're doing with Detroit Startup Week is we are taking 5,000. Our goal is up to 5,000 high school students from Detroit area schools, charter schools, neighboring districts. And we are introducing them to mobile app design and coding and careers in tech. And so we'll have up the max for each day is about 1,200 kids. And
wow.
So it'll depend each day on depending on the schools we have involved for the schedule, how many will come. But the goal is to introduce them to mobile app design. We'll have several local celebrities that will be there to greet them. They'll get free lunch. They'll get swag bags and T-shirts and things like that full of camps and summer camps and internships and other programs that they can go on, many that are low cost and free. And then we'll be giving away laptops and raffles and things like that. So that we're super, super excited about this initiative and all the dozen or so partners that are involved in making it come to life.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing all that, not to mention a week-long program, all that, those the giveaways, the swag. You got to have some serious weight partners there, right?
We do. So Code Detroit in particular is funded by Quicken Loans Community Investment Foundation. And for that, the Community Investment Fund has definitely been very helpful and instrumental for us getting this live. From a executional standpoint, Grand Circus Detroit, where I'm the entrepreneur in residence and Kyle is the COO, has been backing us and been a lot of the motivation behind us getting this live. And then we have literally a dozen different organizations who all teach coding and computer science at various levels that are coming together to help us execute from both a curriculum and volunteer standpoint. So we have Code Key Detroit, we have Journey, we have Digirati Girls, we have Forgotten Harvest is donating all the lunches. We have Imagine Theaters is donating prizes and a movie day for some of the kids. And a whole bunch of slew, and I'm forgetting all sorts of people, but a slew of people who come together that are dedicated to creating pipelines for tech careers for Detroit youth. And we're very glad that, similar to Detroit Startup Week, Code Detroit is also a volunteer-led effort. All of us, including my co-leads, we do this as volunteers for both Startup Week and the same thing for Code Detroit. So I'm very, very proud of the team that's working on this and just bringing this to life for the city and the kids in it.
Another thing that you said you wanted to talk about today, I'm just looking at it on the schedule. It's Tuesday of the week. Mm-hmm. It's called PowerScale Reverse Pitch Competition. Let's talk about that a little bit. Sounds interesting.
Aha. We're excited. So this is will be the third time that we've had PowerScale in conjunction with Startup Week. So PowerScale is powered by Comcast Business and Invest Detroit Ventures. And what it is it's a reverse pitch competition where a typical pitch competition, startups come and they pitch like their idea and like the people who quote or the founders who have the best idea win. Well, we have reversed that process. And with PowerScale, the goal is that you come to the table with your biggest business problem and you pitch your biggest business problem. And the expert coaches, which we have folks from Invest Detroit, we have folks from Comcast, from Chase, from Google, we're going to be there to evaluate and kind of say, well, this is your problem. This is how you should solve it. And our sponsors have put together a slate of vendors who are willing to come on board. And that's where the sponsorship comes in, is we are hiring them on behalf of these companies to kind of help them with marketing and product development and web design and whatever it may be. So it's a reverse pitch, and you can only win if you bring your biggest problem and you share it with the audience. It's been super, super valuable the last two times we've ran it, and the audience has loved it because on top of seeing a different type of pitch competition, they've always told us that they've learned so much from being in the audience. So, and just watching the coaches tell them how to solve the problem and connecting them to resources. So
but this
for
is,
us, we're super excited that this will be Tuesday night.
But this is something for an adult, not necessarily kids, right? I mean, this is for,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'll make sure I was clear on that, so.
Oh yeah, it could. I mean, technically, if we had a group, I don't think any of the groups are under 18, but we've had some groups that have had like a team member that's just graduated or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's typically adult founders that are in the Detroit metro area.
Ah, I know Timber is doing something. I'm gonna let her shamelessly plug it. What is it you're doing next week?
Yes, please.
Thank you. I'm gonna total shamelessly plug it. So on Thursday afternoon, I actually will be at WeWork,
mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna have a panel of female founders who are just going gangbusters in second stage. So Katie Bigelow, the founder and CEO of MetalOps,
mm-hmm.
who's gotten $13 million in government contracts
that
this year.
Now, huh?
Yep. Gwen Jamir, who actually, with her company Naturalicious,
mm-hmm.
Has gone now into Sally's Beauty Supplies mm. and knocked it out of the park in their test mm-hmm. stores. So mm-hmm. there are thousands of stores globally she's looking at.
Wow.
And then mm-hmm. our last rounding out the panel will be Christina York, whose app Spellbound, AR augmented reality, they work with hospitals to help mm-hmm. pediatric.
And I think they've all been on the show.
Yeah, they have all been on the show, and they're doing great things and really, really getting to the next level. So we want to show all the other women founders out there that they can do it, and whatever we need to do to help them, we'd be happy to.
Which venue is that at?
We'll be at WeWork.
WeWork.
On
okay.
Thursday from 4 to 5.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead, Matt. You looked like you were going to say something there.
No, I wanted you to ask the next question.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I have also on my list Brazen How to Scale. Do I have that correct?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
So Brazen is a new organization in the Detroit area that is focused on female founders who want to figure out how to scale their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so Brazen has just launched in Detroit this past spring. And we are having a preview launch event on Thursday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be at the Aloft Detroit. And that is really focused on, there's a couple of components. It's the first is a mini, we'll talk with some of the founders who've done very successful things on gaining acceleration, investment, and revenue growth. And then we'll have a demonstration of, we have a monthly groups, multiple of them that meet, that are called peer advisory groups. There'll be monthly peer advisory growth groups. So there'll be a mini demonstration of how those work and inviting women to participate. And then we'll have a mini demonstration of a round table, which are monthly group discussions on specific scaling topics. And then we have the demonstration of power hours. So, which is looking at, people can come in and get free legal help, accounting help, tech help, things like that. And they'll have a mini version of a power hour where we'll get a chance to kind of see, these are some tools on how female founders can scale their businesses. So we are super excited to have that as part of the Detroit Startup Week lineup as well.
All right. Tell us who some of the partners are who are helping you out with this. I know Chase is heavily involved, right?
Yes. And Chase has been heavily, Chase is the title sponsor of Detroit Startup Week, and they've also been a sponsor of several of our programs. They're actually sponsoring another program geared towards female founders on Friday morning. There's a female founders breakfast and networking, and then there's a panel like that on Friday morning. But Chase is our title sponsor. From a platinum level, we have Quicken Loans, and again, the Quicken Loans Community Fund has been hugely huge backer of ours and help make us able to have this each of the these years. And then we also have Comcast Business, that's also platinum for us, as well as taping and live streaming some of our other key events, and also they're obviously involved heavily in PowerScale. And then across the board, we have a literal couple dozen different sponsors and founders from Google and Accenture and Blue Cross Blue Shield have come on board, and just a lot of different folks who are coming on board, either bringing sponsorship, bringing speakers, bringing programming. And we, again, this being a volunteer-led event, and then Detroit Startup Week is free. I think I mentioned that. If not, let me say it again. It's a free event. We could not do this without the sponsors. And so we have a pushing 200 events over the 5 days. That's about 20 events per day in different tracks. And the sponsors have, and then the program partners are each hosting things like Engages, Engages panel. We have a huge keynote on Thursday. Marcus Lemonis from CNBC, The Prophet, is going to be there doing a keynote. He goes around the country teaching businesses how, you know, on his show, teaching them how to solve problems and how to, you know, become revenue positive. And he'll be there talking to businesses on Thursday. They're talking about business credit and things like that. We have Chase, Amazon, as well as Google and Comcast are all doing, and Miller Canfield, which is doing the legal portion, are all doing free office hours each day of the week where you can sign up for a slot to learn about, bring your legal issues, bring your contracts, bring your marketing issues with Google, and bring your Amazon, your retail issues, your AWS, your cloud based issues. Bring your business credit and business account issues for Chase. They'll have a huge Chase mobile there that's helping people understand about business credit and accounts and things like that. Get free headshots. There's free lunch each day. It's a massive, massive undertaking of people collaborating on resources for hopefully what we've seen these last 2 years, but very positive shared outcomes for Detroit entrepreneurs. It's a celebration of Detroit entrepreneurship at all levels. So it's not just beginners. It's definitely got a lot of folks in every level, from beginners to being in business for 20 years. We have folks that are those sessions at all levels, depending on what you're trying to learn. Taxes, if you're trying to learn about optimization strategies, marketing, growth, partnerships, partnering with corporates, how to, you know, develop a new product, everything you can think of. We try to put it in there and try to find really quality people to help us execute it. And our partners have been invaluable in helping us do that.
All right. Thanks very much, Monica Weed of Startup Week Detroit, co-founder. The website for that, folks, is DetroitStartupWeek.com. If you want to see the full agenda, go to DetroitStartupWeek.com/schedule. They've got a very cool tool in there for building your own event, building your own schedule that I was playing with a little earlier. And I'm going to try to get down there and get to a few things.
Yeah.
But it's a great website. All right. Thanks very much, Monica. And we'll see you next week at Startup Week Detroit.
Thank you, guys.
All right. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with today's final segment of the M Squared TechCast with longtime friend of the show, Tem Burchett of Inforum, director of its Engage program for second stage women entrepreneurs. Tember, you brought a guest with us, with you today. So why don't we introduce your guest and we'll get rolling with the interview.
That's perfect. Thanks, guys, for having me again. I appreciate it. So I want to welcome Jessica Willis. Jessica's company is called Pocket Nest. So she is a Detroit-based fintech company built for people who are, well, people. Their mission is to demystify financial planning and equip people with tools that they need to manage their own financial plan without anything slipping through the cracks, because she really believes that you can do it yourself. She is a CFP, CPWA certified, all those financial initials, right? She has more than 18 years of experience in investment advising and financial planning herself. So the one most important thing is, do you actually have a financial plan, is the question she's asking. And not just...
Or does she have a plan, or does everybody else have a plan?
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure she has a plan.
Okay.
She's pretty type A like that. But actually have a plan, because people think they do. So they did actually ahead of a survey that 90% of the folks they surveyed were missing at least one critical element to complete their financial plan. And even more notable, 50% of those people think that their financial plans are complete.
Right. Well, it's 50% of the people who think they have their plans totally complete. You know, they've checked the box in their mind that there's nothing left to do. And sure enough, as we get into the details, what we find is that they're missing a whole ton of, you know, at least one thing. And so our goal is to be that digital checklist for those folks, the people not only that think they have their things done, but for those individuals who know that there's things left done, to help them, give them the tools to get things going themselves.
Which is very cool. So tell us, I told a little bit about Pocket Nest that I know, but why don't you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what it is, and why you actually, how you actually came up with this business concept, where you saw the need.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, just to take a step back. So Pocket Nest provides, we say provides do-it-yourself financial planning to Gen X and millennials in a digital format. And the idea is to equip users with the tools needed in a really easy, fun, enticing digital manner, to help folks get these things done. And the way I kind of came into this and saw the massive gap in the industry. So I've been in the industry for 18 years doing financial planning and investments, mostly for high net worth families and individuals. It's sort of the way our industry is written, that to get really, really great financial advice, you have to have a pretty substantial portfolio to do that. And throughout my career, it seems like when individuals were having these massive life-changing events, like getting married or having kids, they'd pull me aside and say, hey, Jess, can we go out to lunch and kind of, quote, go through everything. And what I found is, in a matter of an hour-long lunch, I could really take the, you know, these really deep methods or really deep feelings of stress that people had around finances and put that stress to ease. And so, you know, the more I realized that there was this need for basically just a checklist, that's what kind of walked me into coming up with Pocket Nest.
Fabulous. So what would you say, on your many lunches, were some of the most common concerns that you heard, or common mistakes?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting question, Tember, because not only on the many lunches, but we've done quite a bit of market research. So I've done a lot of surveys with my network and broader networks. And I was trying to find the answer to that question, really to find the easiest pain point to eliminate for our users. But what we saw is that it's not one or two things. So it really is, these pain points for people really vary among among everything you do from a financial planning standpoint. So the way Pocket Nest is written, we walk users through all 10 themes of financial planning, and it's not just one thing. It's not just insurance or budget or, you know, kind of having this great snapshot of a net worth statement or what kind of college savings do we need, estate, investments, retirement. It really, these questions for people really are just across the board for different individuals. Different people have different things that they've solved for, and different gaps that we worry about.
Yeah, depending on where they're at. So you said there are 10 themes to personal financial planning.
Yes.
What might those be?
The first is building a net worth. We call it the snapshot. And then budget. Debt, so both student debt and personal debt and real estate debt, insurance, retirement, investment, income tax planning, estate planning, college savings, 529 planning, and the very, very important periodic review.
Excellent. Excellent. That's a lot more than I would have thought of.
So what exactly then does Pocket Nest do? I mean, is it an extension of what you just described there?
I wouldn't say it's an extension. It's really the roadmap through all of those things. Uh-huh. So the way the app, it's an app, it's a web-based platform. And the way it works is we gain a little bit of information about our users in a really simple way. So we ask a bunch of questions. It takes 10 to 20 minutes a month to get users to get everything in order. And so, you know, we hope to ask you these really easy questions, understand a little bit about you.
Sure.
And there's these linear decision trees that have lived in my mind over the last 18 years that we're putting into technology. So if we find out enough about you, we can make a determination based on ABC, then XYZ.
Uses some kind of algorithm or what?
There's a couple algorithms and a couple calculators built in, but for the most part, it's kind of the choose your own adventure books that we all read as kids. It's just these very linear decision trees.
Ah, got it.
Pretty interesting. So what would you say your biggest challenges have been thus far? With getting Pocket Nest,
being a first-time startup founder has so many challenges, and being a finance type A person, I've been kind of looking for that quote formula on how to.
No, there is none.
There is none. No. I wish you told me that. Yeah, you know, a couple months ago.
Fly by the seat of your pants most of the time.
Which once you embrace that, is fun. I mean, coming out of, I've had 10 years at a corporate job and then, two 5-year stints at smaller jobs, smaller boutique firms. Now being, you know, a solo entrepreneur, it is incredibly, incredibly fun, but there is a lot to figure out. So I would say just recognizing as a, you know, first-time entrepreneur, first-time startup founder, you don't know what you don't know and embracing that.
Yep.
But on the flip side, I mean, what's come out of that is, holy cow, I've met the most amazing, helpful people in the Detroit startup ecosystem who just, people are good. People want to help each other. And that's been the coolest thing by far.
Mm-hmm. And Jessica is actually participating in the current cohort of Engage Masterclass. So she's with 11 other
amazing
second stage entrepreneurs. We actually meet this Saturday again.
Yes.
And just what they're sharing with each other. And we know Detroit's very, you know, Southeast Michigan is very giving to each other and helpful. And it's just a very unique ecosystem. And these women just completely emulate that. So it's been really good.
Let me ask you. I was curious about what's the business model.
Sure.
So you got this app.
Yep.
You ask these questions.
Yep.
How do you make money? I don't understand.
Yeah. So it's really important to us to promote financial planning and promote financial education as best we can. And so we don't want to turn off our users by charging. And the way our industry is financial planning is very, very expensive.
Right.
And so our revenue model is Pocket Nest is totally, totally free to user.
Right.
And our revenue model is a two-tiered approach. Uh-huh. And so tier one is as we go direct to users with full transparency, because we want to be as transparent and forthcoming with our users, to let them know, look, we're totally free to you. But as we find out what kind of financial services you might need, we connect you with some partner firms. And those partner firms provide revenue back to us.
Referral fees,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's not, I want to make it very clear at this stage, and then also just as we develop the platform, that's not any you know, any company that we're connecting our users to. I know the industry very, very well. Mm-hmm. I know the world of finance. And so those partners we've already done really, really deep due diligence on. Mm-hmm. And we won't be connecting our users to just anybody. We'll say, you know, based on what we know about you, here's who we connect you to and here's why. Or sure. Here's maybe two or three firms. We recommend A, B, and C. And, you know, we'll let you make the final decision why. The second tier is we're partnering with institutions, financial institutions and non-financial institutions. So banks, we're even looking at corporate wellness. We've actually talked to quite a few nonprofits that are looking for some sort of financial planning for low-income housing families. And, mm-hmm. and the way we're writing the platform is we can serve that niche as well by tailoring our outcomes and recommendations. So in that latter tier, the revenue model is a flat fee based on an end user.
And I suppose once you get the audience together, there's always that advertising option, but that would be way down the path.
That would be way down the path. Yeah, it's not on our radar yet.
Sure. Okay, I'm just curious. Yeah. I was listening, and I thought, where's the money? Show me the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, the revenue model is important.
Yeah. Right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
It's very important. So what recently have you been working on? What stage are
yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
And what's happening on your day-to-day right now?
Oh, my gosh. I always say the startup world is like living in dog years because especially coming out of the corporate world, we're back in the corporate world, you'd have an idea and you'd have to, you know, pass the committee and it took months to get things done, where now it's like, hey, let's do this. And 2 hours later, you have a signed agreement for something. So what am I doing is a lot. let's see. The stage we're at is after 12 months of really deep due diligence in who our customers would be and design of our platform and writing the content and a lot of user testing of our digital prototype. Just at the end of last week, we started the back end build on the technology side. So that is a humongous milestone for us that we're really, really excited about. We've also gotten an LOI, letter of intent, that a bank will be piloting our platform. Mm. So that's huge for us. We've gotten some grant funds to help build. So the status is we are, we're building. It's a quick answer.
And you got second place at the Detroit FinTech Challenge?
Yes, yes.
Was there some money involved?
There was a little bit of capital in that, and uh-huh. that was super helpful. That was really fun because it was the first time I had pitched in front of a crowd, and I was beyond nauseated by the entire experience. But once I got up there, it turns out it was super, super fun. And, you know, to come in second place was a really big, exciting thing for us. And then we made a lot of connections through that have been so
are you
valuable.
Based out of Tech Town then, out of that incubator? Or?
I was based out of Tech Town because I was in an accelerator G-Beta through Generator. mm-hmm. And now I'm actually based out of Ann Arbor Spark because we've been in a boot camp there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is great. Super, super fun place to be because you're getting the best of Ann Arbor, which is yes. Mike's favorite, and the best of Detroit, which is our favorite. So that's great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So tell me, as you're moving through this process now,
yes.
are you thinking about next steps for, are you going to be hiring people at some point to help you?
Oh, sure, sure. So right now, formally on paper, it's just me, but we have a chief marketing officer. We just haven't finalized the agreements yet, although our deal is finalized. We just literally haven't signed everything. But we've got a chief marketing officer who is phenomenal. Her name is Ashley Craven. She's got 12 years experience in PR and marketing. Absolutely brilliant. And then we have a lead architect, technical co-founder that we are still trying to finalize what that looks like. And then eventually, yes, we've got a plan for hiring for 12 months down the road.
That was a version of Matt's question about...
Yes, the Roush question. Are you hiring, and if so, for what skill sets? Yes, always, always.
So when you are ready, we will have to have you come back yes. and tell the world what you're Love doing that. With that.
We've Love only that. Got about a minute left, so now we can let her do the shameless plug and all that jazz. So.
Oh. Jessica, how do we find more about Pocket Nest?
Oh, my shameless plug. Okay, well, the plug is if anybody, to everybody listening, the best thing that you can do to help us out is to register on our website for our once a month newsletter. Mm. And there's basically one quick financial tip in those newsletters. We walk you through step by step to do one financial item each month. Our website is pocketnest.com, so www.pocketnest, pocketnest.com. If you have any questions, you can email me at jessica@pocketnest.com. Check us out.
And the app's available on Play Store? And
the app is not available yet.
It's not?
No,
oh.
Because we're still building. So we're probably 120 days out from having our beta version.
Oh. And I just signed up for the newsletter, so yes. I'll know.
Thank you. Thank you.
Matt tries to stay very informed.
All right.
Matt wins.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much. Good show today, Mike. I really enjoyed the variety of guests. So
it just sort of, kismet. It all comes together at the end. I don't know how, but
show prep. What's that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know,
we'll just wing it. I forget who says that all the time.
Yeah.
All right. So we started off the show today with Gary Erickson, managing partner of Executive Search, Dr. Tanya Matthews, CEO of Michigan Science Center, Startup Week Detroit co-founder Monica Wheat, and our longtime friend Tim Burchett, who interviewed Jessica Willis, founder and CEO of Pocket Nest. That's something that I am going to take
That's
a look
right.
at and just
getting ready for your retirement
yeah,
here and
right.
all that
That's
stuff.
Just right. yeah. yeah, well, yeah, three, four more years, maybe five.
Yeah.
It depends on my health and whether or not
keep that wife working, making that money, right? You know. So.
All right. I won't go there.
No, yes.
Only
She's
trouble.
Probably listening anyway, right?
Only trouble lies in that direction.
Yes, okay.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, and we'll be back here next Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time with another edition of the M Squared TechCast. Until then, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. We'll see you on the radio at podcastdetroit.com.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.